Donate and listen to the podcast at wrwl.org.
All right, we're back. We're going to be playing a clip. Julie Kelly has probably, Joe, done more investigation into the January 6th than she's been there at all the hearings, that she's been in the courtrooms, and she's gathered all the facts. And she's talking with the who's who, and she knows exactly what the Communist Party, the Satan's crowd, what their plans are for President Trump. And so she's going to be on with Mark Levin, and we'll take her away.
A remarkable person, has a legal background, fantastic journalist. She has been dogged in following January 6th and what's been going on. Julie Kelly, welcome. The Proud Boys have been watching on TV and elsewhere. They talk about convictions here. Four out of five of them. What were they convicted of, and what exactly occurred at this trial?
Well, Mark, again, thank you so much for your kind words covering my work and getting this important information out to your listeners. This is really a travesty of justice. Four out of five of the Proud Boys were convicted of seditious conspiracy, which is a charge tantamount to treason. They were also convicted of other conspiracy counts, obstruction of an official proceeding. They really committed no violence. They weren't accused of assaulting police officers. Only one was accused of destroying government property. But the important part of this trial, 4 month trial, really 2 year case, where Judge Tim Kelly acted as an extra lawyer for the prosecution, repeatedly denying defense motions.
By the way, let me stop you there. This guy has done this a lot. He's done this.
Yep.
He sort of did this in the case with Bannon, I believe. And he's done it in other cases, too. But I could be wrong about that. I know there's another case where he kept giving the prosecution everything they wanted. Maybe that's the case with Mark Elias's partner. I'm just trying to remember which case. But I remember that name, and I remember thinking, wow, this guy is a Department of Justice judge.
He is, Mark, and here's the problem. Not only is he a former Department of Justice official, he worked for years for the D.C. U.S. Attorney's Office, which is the exact same office, Matthew Graves now, who is prosecuting and handling every January 6th case. And there are reports that he used to work for one of the prosecutors who's sort of overseeing this, Jocelyn Ballantyne, who you might remember was also involved in the Mike Flynn prosecution. No. So this is the epitome of the swamp. They are all in cahoots. His wife also works for Muriel Bowser, who is the D.C. mayor. He never
I knew, you know, when they say this guy's appointed by Trump, I was explaining how deals are made at the district court level for the appointment of these people, that sometimes a Republican president says, all right, you guys get one, but I get two. Now let's get them through the Senate. I saw this through the Reagan administration. Democrats have done it too. This is not really a Trump guy. This is just a hack prosecutorial bureaucrat, part of the Washington, D.C. Situation, and they keep throwing Trump's name around. Go ahead.
That's exactly right, but he has been a D.C. fixture, especially Department mm-hmm. of Justice, for decades. He also worked for Charles Grassley on the Judiciary Committee. Mm-hmm. So he's very tuned in to the establishment Republicans, I would say, and he really showed his true colors in this trial. I've written extensively my works at amgreatness.com. This is why, though, Mark, I will say the upside is that these verdicts are ripe for appeal for many reasons. I thought his most egregious move, and you will understand this as an attorney, is that he told the defense attorneys they had to pre-vet questions related to numerous FBI informants in this case with the government. So they had to tell prosecutors what they were going to ask witnesses, i.e. FBI agents, about running multiple FBI informants into this group months before and on January 6th. That, I mean, I'm not an attorney. I'm
Why?
Sure you would find that. Because he was part of covering up with the government.
No. But what is the legal? But he's not going to say he is. Why? What conceivable legal basis would there be to protect them? I don't know.
Yes, to protect them. He also, when one of the members of the defense team uncovered messages between FBI agents talking about doctoring reports, deleting evidence, and surveilling attorney-client communications for one of the defendants, he stepped in, stopped the cross-examination of this FBI agent, let the DOJ come back with their excuses as to why these messages had been concealed and accidentally uncovered by a member of the defense team, and bought into the Justice Department's excuses, which I'm sure you will be surprised to hear, they claimed were classified information, classified communications. This is the sort of travesty that was happening in this trial before a D.C. jury, very biased D.C. jury, by the way, coming back with convictions on the extremely rare charge of seditious conspiracy for four.
That is amazing. I want people to understand that law was used to prosecute people during the Civil War era.
That's right.
Not today. And let me ask you this. Did I read properly somewhere, maybe it was your piece, that he also allowed in closing arguments the government to play a video of Donald Trump making statements?
It was. So the comment by Donald Trump in the September 2020 presidential debate, when he was goaded by Joe Biden and Chris Wallace to condemn white supremacist militia groups, Joe Biden mentioned the Proud Boys. So Donald Trump said, okay, Proud Boys, stand back and stand by. That clip was played multiple times during the trial, and it was the first clip that Assistant U.S. Attorney Connor Mulroe played during closing arguments last Monday. I was in the courtroom to hear it. Not a clip of the Proud Boys committing violence or trying to overthrow the government that day. That was the first clip that they played, which is why these convictions pose such a grave legal threat to Donald Trump. This is the roadmap to charge Donald Trump with the same offenses, including seditious conspiracy, obstruction, conspiracy, regular conspiracy, and other counts, which is...
But let me just get this straight here.
Counsel's headed.
Your point, this is very important for the public to understand.
Mm-hmm.
A comment during a national debate is played during a criminal prosecution in which people can lose their liberty. And the purpose of that is to try and show some kind of causation, some relationship between that statement and what the Proud Boys did or didn't do. That is so outrageous. It is unbelievable to me when I read that. I said, are you kidding me? How the hell do you get away with that? Now, the problem with the circuit court is they loaded that damn circuit court up with a bunch of Democrats, too, didn't they?
They did. And we can get into this another time. While this trial was going on, there was what one judge on the circuit court called a splintered ruling about the most common felony used against January 6ers, which is obstruction of an official proceeding, this 1512C2, which is a post-Enron evidence witness tampering law. The DOJ has also weaponized that statute against January 6ers. So this was a crazy trial.
So, Julie Kelly, they use an Enron-related statute on obstruction. They use a Civil War-related statute on seditious conspiracy. So they really were shooting for the moon. They got the moon. They knew they would have a jury and a judge that would help them. And you're right. They're laying the foundation for Donald Trump or anybody else they want to go after here. This is just unbelievable to me. And not a single judge has stopped any of this, have they?
The only judge who has stopped the obstruction of an official proceeding felony is Carl Nichols, also a Trump-appointed judge. And this is how 1512C2 obstruction got to the appellate court, this splintered ruling, which did not make a lot of sense. That's not the final word on it. But he is the only judge, Mark. 12 other D.C. district court judges thought that this obstruction felony, which was intended, as we just said, post-Enron, would apply to January 6th protesters, including people who committed no other violent crime. The way that DOJ is using this, they are adding this to more than 300 cases to add felony counts to otherwise mostly misdemeanor cases to turn Trump supporters into felons. This is the charge that Jacob Chansley, after 300 some odd days in solitary confinement, finally pleaded guilty to and got sentenced to 41 months in prison by Royce Lamberth, a Reagan-appointed judge. This is how they're weaponizing
it. Oh, I know Royce
it.
Lamberth. I'm very disappointed. Very.
He should really retire.
Yeah.
Yes, he should really retire after what he did to Jacob Chansley. Not only, and he kept him in pretrial detention, Mark. Jacob Chansley wasn't accused of another violent crime. Royce Lamberth kept him in jail strictly on that count. Other judges have done the same. Timothy McFadden did it in the Tim Hale case. I have numerous examples of judges denying bail to people accused of obstruction of an official proceeding, keeping them in jail until they are tortured into a plea deal or go before a D.C. by a D.C. jury and are immediately convicted.
These judges in that courthouse, and I'm very familiar with that courthouse, Julie, there's a big conference room where, if they choose to, they all sit down and eat lunch together. Are you aware of this?
I can only imagine.
And, I mean, they don't have to, but they typically do. There's a cafeteria in there. They can bring their own lunch if they want. And they discuss their cases, which they're free to do. But what happens is, like any other cloistered group, if they want to get along and so forth, they can basically conduct themselves in a similar way. And so that's what's happening here. And most of them are former federal prosecutors out of the Department of Justice, mm-hmm. aren't they?
Yes,
almost
they
all
are.
Of them.
Almost all of them. There are a few who came from the public defender's office, but almost all of them, Mark, have some ties to the Department of Justice, including the D.C. U.S. Attorney's Office, now run by Matthew Graves, a Biden campaign advisor, a Biden appointee who's handling all of these cases. And so, you know, they're working with former colleagues or one-time colleagues or an office that I'm sure they have a lot of loyalty to. And so that's why you have someone like Tim Kelly, who has denied, I can't even tell you how many defense motions, but during the trial, almost uniformly, overrode or did not allow defense objections, overruled defense objections while sustaining government objections. This was such a rigged trial. But again, because I think the Judge Kelly and these prosecutors certainly understand the stakes. And that is, this is only creating the roadmap for Special Counsel Jack Smith to bring the same charges against Donald Trump. Donald Trump was a key figure in this trial, not just the clip that was shown repeatedly about the debate, from the debate, but the conspiracy, Mark, that the government said the Proud Boys started on December 19th of 2020. That is when Donald Trump first tweeted about January 6th, said, come to D.C., will be wild. This is how prosecutors created this case. And the idea that Donald Trump had nothing, was not a part of this prosecution, is complete folly. This is why they brought these charges, kept these men in pretrial detention for 2 years, allowed this biased jury to handle this trial. And now you could see the glee on the left. You could see the glee by Democrats. Adam Schiff today tweeted suggesting that these verdicts will now lead to Donald Trump.
And the other thing is, when you have cases like this, they're going through people's social media. So if you put something on there, let's go to Washington and fight this, blah, blah, blah. I assume that showed up in court, too, and they were trying to show, see this, see this? They were trying to overthrow the government, right?
Almost all of the evidence is gleaned from text messages or posts in encrypted chats and on Parler. Who tries to overthrow the government and they put it on Parler? Who tries to overthrow the government, Mark, and they assemble at the Washington Monument and they stop at food trucks on their way to the Capitol? Who tries to overthrow the government in the case of Ethan Nordin, who walked through open doors with Capitol Police standing right there? Who tries to overthrow the government by force and brings no weapons? This is the case against the Proud Boys. None of it matters. 2 years I've been following these, not trials, but the hearings and then the trials that started last March. I understand exactly what these prosecutors are capable of and, more importantly, what these judges are allowing to happen in these courtrooms, which is why I feel absolutely certain that when they bring indictments, Jack Smith brings indictments against Donald Trump, they will move forward. A judge will deny change of venue motions, just like every single judge has done in every single case here. None of these trials should be happening in Washington, D.C. They will deny any change of venue for Donald Trump, and they will allow these indictments to move forward. And even more shockingly, Mark, if he is charged with seditious conspiracy or even obstruction, there is now precedence to keep a defendant charged with those crimes under pretrial detention orders, meaning denying bail. And I would put nothing past these judges and these prosecutors to do the same to Donald Trump.
And here we are in the middle of an election, an ex-president seeking to be president again. And the special counsel is appointed by the attorney general. This is how you know the fix is in. Not to investigate his boss, which is why you have a special counsel, an appearance of a conflict, but to investigate his opponent. And that tells you that the fix is in, that they picked this guy, Jack Smith, that it's all happening in Washington, D.C. It tells you the fix is in. And these are horrendous times, absolutely horrendous times. The law really is being turned inside out. And Julie Kelly, I want to thank you for everything. Obviously, you'll stay on this. But even when they appeal, that doesn't mean they're going to be out of prison. They could be sitting in prison during the course of the appeal, correct?
Well, they absolutely will, and sentencing won't be until the end of the year. And as you know, Mark, they can't even appeal until they're sentenced. And these crimes carry 20-year maximum prison sentences for each of these conspiracy charges.
So they're all in prison now?
They have been in prison, four of them, since winter of 2021, denied release by Tim Kelly. Even though three of them are veterans, Joe Biggs is a Purple Heart veteran. They have no criminal record, and they were not charged with violent crimes. Tim Kelly has kept them in jail, indefinite incarceration, for almost 2 years before their trial began in January of this year. This is how inhumane this man is. And this is why he was invested in guilty verdicts. He wanted to justify what he did to these men. So that's why he acted on behalf of the government, because he's kept them cruelly, inhumanely, unconstitutionally in jail for 2 years before this trial started. That's why he wanted to justify what he did.
It's amazing in a sickening way. And you could see how they pulled certain stunts and did certain things to Paul Manafort and Roger Stone in that D.C. District 2. You know, my own view is the Republicans need to break up that judicial district. They need cases that involve individuals in an administration to take place outside of the District of Columbia, just because it's way too partisan. And there is no way a Republican can get a fair break, or anybody associated with Trump or anybody who shows up in a clip that they try to associate with Trump and these individuals who are on trial. And it's really just sickening to me. All right, Julie Kelly, I want to thank you. I know there's not many outlets that...
All righty, we are back. And Joe, what was that judge's name? Was it Michael Kelly?
I think that's what it was. I was just, when you listen to it, it's just sickening. You think of what they've done to this country. You and I have talked about, you know, we're in the middle of a communist revolution. Well, it's pretty much complete if you can get a court to put people in jail for 2 years, hold them without bail, without, you know, violate all their constitutional rights, and nothing happens. They don't get sued. It doesn't go to the Supreme Court. I just cannot believe that it has happened here in America.
Joe, let me ask you this. What is one of the things that, one of the powers that the church has but hardly uses? They don't really understand the power of prayer, do they?
No. You see, now, I don't think so. I don't see it very often being invoked. We pray a lot on the show, but other places I don't see churches praying for justice or for the January 6th people. Very little of that goes on.
Yeah, do we see a lot of examples in the Bible, though, Joe, where God has answered prayer? And what does he say about prayer? His ears will be open, okay, and he'll be listening. Now, what I want you to do, I want the people all across this country to try to understand, try to have the faith. This Kelly, this Michael Kelly, this Judge Kelly, needs to be removed. And Joe, if you would pray in a precatory prayer that the Lord would bring this bloody little man to repentance or remove him, to bring this bloody little man to repentance. And you know, we're seeing Joe Biden. All of a sudden, Joe Biden's not so arrogant. You know, he's arrogant and looking into he's a wicked man, looking in there and squinting and whispering. Now all of a sudden he's not so arrogant. The chickens are coming home to roost. And would you lead the people out there, folks, all across this country, join Joe as he prays that the good Lord will remove this Michael Kelly, this Judge Kelly.
I think it's Tim Kelly.
Or Tim Kelly. Tim Kelly. Judge Tim Kelly and all of those other corrupt judges there in D.C., the District of Crime. So go ahead, Joe, and lead that prayer.
Be happy to. Dear Heavenly Father, we've been listening to a news report, and we've been hearing some truth that's very hard to take. Our country is in despicable shape. We have such a corrupt judicial system, and it starts at the D.C. court at our nation's capital. And Lord, we have this Judge Tim Kelly, and we have a host of other corrupt judges there that know they have juries that are going to hand out the verdict that they want. They know that they can convey a grand jury and indict anyone that they want. They understand power. They understand what they're doing. And Lord, we would just pray that you would intervene, that you would bring these men and women to their knees, that if they will not repent, that you would remove them from office, that you would break up their little cabal of power, that you would bring some justice to all these hundreds of people that have suffered without constitutional rights, without an opportunity for bail, without really an opportunity for a fair trial. It's like a kangaroo court, the kind of that we've seen in communist countries and dictatorships. Lord, this is not the America that worships you, that claims their rights and freedom that come from God, that come from you. And Lord, we need revival. We need you to intervene and break this up. We look around and some of us are sick to the stomach of what's happened to this wonderful nation that you gave us to the wonderful Constitution that was a contract with you, really, covenant with you. And, Lord, we just need help removing these people, but we want them to have a chance to repent and change. But if not, Lord, remove them, or they should just be destroyed. In Jesus' name, amen.
Joe, you know what? Thank you so much. Thank you. Folks, listen, there's power in prayer. There's power in prayer. And I was praying right along with him, asking the Lord to remove this wicked people, those that will refuse to repent, to keep, like we just read in there, off the people, how they beat the faces of the people, and or they eat them like bread. And so I'm going to open a phone line, Joe. Before we take a call, though, the phone lines are open now at 888-677-9673. But I got a quick announcement before we do that, and that is every now and then there's a business that gives exceptional service, and I happen to have a friend, Bill, who has a business. It's called Crystal Clear Glass Cleaning, and they do such a good job that they have way more business than they have people. They're always looking for employees, and they will train. They pay good. And everybody gets along with the boss. He's a real easy guy to get along with. And so, again, it's they're hiring. It's in Newberry, Ohio, and it's called the Crystal Clear. And it's a career opportunity. Now they're looking for people that are drug free and non-smoking people, if possible, and different. And they have different locations around where they work at. It's an honest work and satisfying work. And so you can call for an interview at 440-834-0411. 440-834-0411. Now, they're asking for men because there can be some heavy lifting at times. You may be required to lift as much as 200 pounds at some times because of ladders and things. So they're looking for men because there is really a difference between men and women. Now, they don't want any transies. They don't want any trans women thinking you're men. But 440-834-0411 for an interview. And folks, you know, if you're out of work and if you're looking for a good job where you can make decent money, and I'm working under good conditions, Bill's a great guy. He will train you, and I highly recommend it. Now, we're going to go to a break, but Joe, before we go to the break, think about this. If they try to arrest Trump, He went to New York, and he didn't do Alvin Bragg very much good, did he? But here, I don't think he will turn himself into a court in D.C., do you?
Not if he thinks they're going to put him in jail and keep him there without bail.
Now, I know that DeSantis will not let them extradite Trump out of Florida. And you know, and I would hate to think, because people are getting angrier and angrier. And you know what? I think if Donald Trump were to say it, I mean, we're at the point that the American people are getting angrier and angrier, that if he was to say, let's go into Washington, D.C. and clean up that rat's nest, that snake pit in Washington, D.C., where, you know, the prostitutes there don't wear miniskirts, and a lot of times they wear long black robes or three-piece suits. And I think if Donald Trump went out and asked the people to do that, they would go in there and take those criminal, corrupt judges and that corrupt police chief and lock them in that very corrupt jail that the Christian patriots are in. What do you think?
That's a good dream, but I think too many people are afraid to do things anti-government. I think if he were to really explain how corrupt the system is, how
he does that every time he has a rally, he does that.
We need a national rally to elect people that will go to Washington, congressmen and senators, and a president that will be able to dismantle that whole system. It's going to take a Republican House, Senate, and President to do it.
Joe, I think people are getting to the point where we're at the point of a revolution, Joe. I think people have had it with the corruption. The corruption has gotten so bad. When they've gotten
there's a lot that are, but I talk to a lot. I hear a lot of people that are fearful of government, that are afraid, and I see another group of people that are just like the ostrich. They don't want to know, don't want to care. They think if they just put their head down and go about their daily life and ignore, nothing bad will happen.
Well,
so you've got apathy, fear, and then you've got those that are angry. So it's an interesting mix of people.
Let's take some calls and find out what the people think. 888-677-9673. 888-677-9673. Phone lines are open, and we'll be back right after this.
When the British armies came from across the bounding main to attack our native shores in their sailing ships of war, to establish tyranny by the orders of a tyrant king, Paul Revere cried his alarms, and the people took up arms, and they fired up their guns in the Greens of Lexington. Soon the battles would be won, and the bells of liberty would ring. Those men who fought to keep us free were not afraid to die. They drew their strength and courage from his power upon high, and cried this battle cry, no king, no king, no king, but King Jesus, the Messiah. No king, no king, no king, but King Jesus, the Holy One of Israel, the Holy One of Israel. Through the toil and the tears in the last 100 years, we have fainted from the fight for his liberty and might. We've been blinded by the lies, so we hardly know what's right from wrong. As the anti-Christian hordes and their global overlords now surround us, holy saints in the camp United States, just like Israel of old, we now find ourselves in Babylon. So now's the time for all good men to seek his face on high, and bow to do his will on earth, and rise up and defy the lie, and cry this battle cry. No king, no king, no king, but King Jesus, the Messiah. No king but King Jesus, the Holy One of Israel, the Holy One of Israel. So now's the time for all good men to seek his face on high, and bow to do his will on earth, and rise up and defy the lie, and cry this battle cry. No king, no king, no king but King Jesus, the Messiah. No king, no king, no king but Yehoshua, the Holy One of Israel, the Holy One of Israel, the Holy One of Israel.
All righty, no king but King Jesus. You hear that, Joe Baba Biden? You hear that, George Soros? You hear that, Klaus Schwab? There's no king but King Jesus. You will believe that in spades before long. You got God's word on that. Okay. Now, phone lines are open, and we have Clifford. Clifford, you're in the air.
Yeah, I have a question about Proverbs, but just quickly, you know, you have been saying about the government, the Army actually being, Department of Defense being behind the COVID issue. David Knight Show podcast. Now, mind you, this guy's super critical of everybody, David Knight. On May 5th, he has information that there's documents about a contractor for the government called Grafica, and a key player is Chris Beale, former CIA guy and chemical weapons expert, and named two other women that are also from the NSA-CIA complex that were already countering disinformation on the vaccine for COVID 2 weeks before the WHO even knew of a COVID virus and before China even knew of it. So that indicates that this was all pre-planned right by the deep state, including the shots.
We knew that from the beginning.
Yeah. Yeah, the other thing that's notable was Redacted News this past Thursday had an interview with a journalist woman who's reporting on the Wall Street Journal had an article on Epstein's Island, Little St. James. But you could listen to that, but what's notable is four billionaires went there on a regular basis. Now, why would four billionaires go to the same resort island? Even for prostitutes, you can get prostitutes anywhere. But go into Proverbs chapter 1, verses 16 to 19. There's something that you said previously about how when you work for these people, they might turn on you and throw you in the river. It says, any bird, they'll set their net for any bird. What do you think of that?
Well, they used to always refer to corrupt people as birds. Sometimes they would do that, and that would be, what verse is that, verse 13?
It's chapter 1 in the area of verses 16 to 19. There's two things I'd ask you about. One, it seems to be saying that they'll rob you and kill you in those verses, 16 to 19, Proverbs chapter 1. And the idea of any bird means they could turn in any direction. Like, for example, Clinton's bodyguards, right? Eventually, a couple of them disappeared, from what you were saying.
Yeah. Well, they used to, literally, that word there, that word for bird in the Hebrew, it means Lord of the Wing. Lord of the Wing is what it's referred to. Surely in vain is the net spread in the sight of any Lord of the Wing. So that's what they were referring to as a bird, corrupt. It has to do with corruptions. So.
Yeah, but it seems to be also saying combining robbing with killing in those verses as well.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
For example, there's like carjackings going on. And I was discussing this with someone. What do you do if you're driving a car and someone might have a weapon and say, you know, just give me your car? They said you just give it to them. You know, you can always get a new car. Well, what would you say to that, like a scenario like that? If someone came up to, you know, someone, what would you advise them to do if they just said, give me your car while you were driving it, say, for example?
While you were driving? Well, you have to see what the... You have to see what the situation is. I wouldn't know. If you were stopped and they come up and they're standing next to you with a gun pointing at you, you don't have much of a choice. If they're coming your way, then you've got to decide whether or not you can hit the gas pedal and get down in the seat and get away. Okay, I mean, you know, would determine on the situation there. But you know what you're talking about in that passage of scripture there. Let us read this here, because this is describing communism. He says it in verse 6, 14, cast in thy lot among us, let us all have one purse. My son, walk not in the way of them which refrain thy foot from their path, for their feet run to evil and make haste to shed blood. Surely in vain is the net spread in the sight of any bird. Okay, again, he's making a point there that these people... you should avoid these people. Avoid this. That they're going to come to a bad end, and they lay wait for their own blood, and they lurk privately for their own lives. That's right. There's no honor among thieves, is there?
Right.
Right.
The end of their behavior is really death. Is what he's saying too. That they wait for their own end, their own destruction. You know, what was that? If you live by the gun, you die by the gun.
Yep. All righty. Well, thanks. We got to move on, but thanks, Cliff. Let's go right. To, we have, who do we have?
We got Zoe.
Zoe, you're in there.
Hi, Pastor.
Hi, Zoe.
I know how strong you are in directing your people, and as well as Pastor Joe. And I think you're in Ohio, and Pastor Joe is in Missouri. And I feel very strongly that there is a strong man. And I think John is in Texas. Is that correct, Pastor?
That's correct, uh-huh.
And you gentlemen are strong enough to invoke men in your areas, in your state, to call at least once a month or once a week, either Zoom them or whatever, and call and say, we're going to fast this lunch hour, and we are going to pray strictly for our country, because it's not going to break these evil bonds until there is fasting and prayer on a unison. And it only took 300 men with Jericho. And you guys have that energy. You have that passion. You can humble yourselves. You can invite repentance. You can have them pray for their sins and pray for the country's sins and for God to keep his promise for healing our country. And nothing is going to happen until we do this.
Well, that's exactly what God's Word in the Bible says. But you see, you have to understand, some of us pray every single day. We have, there of us pray every single day, and then we meet once a week in a group and we pray. And then, of course, we pray every day here on the radio. But and we've had,
Pastor,
this year,
I'm not talking about the groups. I'm not talking about the people who normally pray on a regular basis. I'm talking about raising up a man in each of the blue states, red states, 50 men who will be the leader to lead other men and encourage other men beyond their small group and say, hey, if you love this country, if you serve this country, if you whatever, please call this number on Wednesday or Thursday, who cares? We're going to fast that at that time, and we're going to pray for our country. Do a calling. Call your army.
All righty. Well,
for prayer and fasting.
That 300, those weren't Jericho. That was Gideon's army. There was around Jericho, there was a whole lot of people marched around Jericho. But that was Gideon's army that you were thinking about. And yeah, that's right. They go to prayer. But again, he tells you, and I've been preaching this for 50 years. Joe, I don't know anybody that's preached more on prayer than me. Do you?
No, not really.
And we've been
She's
preaching.
Right in that. It's just what it is so many people do not want to get involved, do anything. And this is where so many individuals need to be in prayer and realize that this is the time God's calling everyone to run to the battle to do something. And too many people are wanting to hide and ignore what's going on.
See, here's the instructions.
But I really think my husband doesn't get too motivated, Pastor, until he gets together with the boys, okay? Mm. And they do the praying and they do the Bible study. And I think there is a lot of people out there where they just don't have a leader. And I really think as Promise Keepers did a great job for a long time, and the fellows, you know, congregated and whatever, and I really feel if you love your country, then there is, you all know enough men who have served your country in your area that you can call and say, hey, can you call me at this particular day? Zoom me in. Let's all pray of one accord. Let's fast that lunch or that dinner, whatever.
All righty. Well, listen.
Fasting.
Let us pray about that, Zoe. We'll see. Because we've done what you're talking about. You wouldn't believe how many times we've done what you're talking about. But anyhow, we got to move on. But thank you for calling. And let's go to Jeff. Jeff, you're in the air.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. I just want to make two quick points. Last night, I was in Brattonaw, and I'm going down Lakeshore Boulevard, and this huge plane comes over, like treetop level almost. It was so low, I thought it was going to crash. And when I'm on my way back towards downtown, you know what I'm talking about, I'm going to by Burke Lakefront Airport, and there's this huge plane. It's like a 707, 727, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Those planes, they don't go to that airport. They go to Hopkins, you know what I'm saying? Hmm. And when I'm driving by the freeway, there's buses lined up there to pick these people up. And who knows what those people were, you know what I'm saying?
You mean you think they're flying them in
that
from...
myself.
Oh, they're keeping it. They're flying it in and... It's hush hush. Oh,
but I saw it with my own eyes last night, though, about 8 o'clock. Second point, real quick. Do you know that the Russian ambassador came out and declared that the Russians believe that the United States have committed an act of war against them with these drones that hit the Red Square?
I don't think there's much in that, but they actually did create an act of war with that Nordic pipeline. It was that Biden ordered that.
I'm just saying. I heard this on True News today, where they reported it, that the guy actually said those words.
I watched those drones. Did you watch them?
Yeah, I seen them. They were like nothing, though. I mean,
yeah. But
still, it's significant.
Yeah, well.
Well, I think if we had sent some of the powerful drones we have, if we'd been behind it, it'd have been more than a little bit of firework display.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyhow.
Well, okay.
We got to worry more about, well, actually, it's the communists here that's here. It's the Democrats that are the real enemy in this country today. They woke. They're the ones, they're the most dangerous to us right now. Okay, we got one last call. Ed, you're in the air. You got about a minute.
I just got a question, Pastor. As far as I'm concerned, this is like a hostile takeover that we're seeing. And it's right in our face now. And I was just asking, as far as, like, they mentioned something about planning 50 men to help organize things. But can a local sheriff or something deputize people like that? And how many people do you think we still got in the military and possibly the FBI that would come out at that point and say, you know, let's, like, throw it on here and get this done? But I'm just throwing that out.
The last time we talked about a subject like this, there were some people that did a little polling to find out just what people would be willing to stand and fight. And the estimate was between 10 and 12 million people that are armed that would be ready to stand and fight for their freedom.
Awesome.
But you have a lot of county sheriffs. I spoke to 250 county sheriffs 2 years ago. And they're willing to secure their counties against the feds, to protect their people from the feds. But I'm out of time. But how much time do I have there, Craig? Okay. All right. And Joe, we're going to the most important part of the radio program. All the stuff that we're talking about tonight and everything we've talked about tonight is important right now. But one day it won't matter at all. In fact, This is reality. Remember, we like to talk about reality. We're living in a world we're living in a world where people don't know what a woman is. We're living in a world where, it's become so wicked and so evil and so reprobate. I mean, it's insane. God has sent them strong delusion because of their wickedness. But this is the time that God has raised us up for, too, right now. This is the time where we earn our stripes, Joe. But only if you're saved. Joe, if you're not saved, if you're lost, if you haven't received Christ as your Savior, and you do good works all day long for your neighbors and whoever, how much of that will count towards eternity?
None of it.
None at all, right?
So
you can be the nicest guy on the street and help the most people, but it's all going to go to naught, isn't it?
Definitely, because we sin as much by the things we have left undone. And the Lord has given us things to do, and most people have not done those things, so we've all sinned greatly.
Okay, so let me ask you this. Just tell the facts, what God has said. Those that die apart from Christ, that die in their sin, where will they spend eternity?
In the lake of fire.
Those that receive Christ as their Lord and Savior, who took their place, a substitutionary death, where will they spend eternity?
With joining there with Jesus in heaven.
In glory, huh?
In glory.
Folks, so wouldn't you recommend to people listening to us out there right now, if there's anyone out there that has not made that profession of faith, said the sinner's prayer, would you not recommend that they do that right now, tonight? Because when we give this invitation, we're just the messenger. The message comes from on high, doesn't it?
Right. It really comes from the Holy Spirit, the one who saves. But God must be called upon. And so many people do not understand. There's heart attacks. There's accidents. There are all kinds of things that God calls people home. You never know when the call will come. And it could come for you tonight.
And so God makes that call, doesn't he? What about people?
He does. He knows when we're all going home or not going home.
Well, you see, you could be on your way to a fatal accident and not know it, but God knows it. You could have somebody that's out there, somebody hired to come and assassinate you, and you don't know it, but God knows it. And
you could have a heart that's getting ready to stop beating.
And so it can only happen once God allows it. He makes the final call. It can't happen unless he allows it. And that time's already been preset. Now, the only one that knows for absolute sure when that time is God himself, huh? And so,
amen to that. He knows, well,
yep,
he
makes the call
before he created the world, what would happen, when it would happen, how.
So here's what they have to do. They got to pray to the Father. Ask for forgiveness. You pray, ask God the Father for forgiveness of your sin. Ask the Lord Jesus to be the Lord of your life, all of your life, without reservations. If you do that, God will honor that. You'll become a new creature, a born-again believer. You'll be filled with the Holy Spirit. And we're out of time for tonight. So as we get here every night, as we do at this time, we say good night.
Good night.
God bless.
God bless.
And always, always, always keep.
Keep.
Fighting the fight.
Fight.
Thanks for listening to the Voice of the Christian Resistance. What's Right, What's Left, hosted by Pastor Ernie Sanders. To learn more about our ministry, please visit us online at www.wrwl.org. Please tune in next time for another edition of What's Right, What's Left.
The preceding program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.